Well, you know, people show some emotions when they go to the games. Huh? They go to basketball, football, baseball. Your team hits a home run or makes a field goal or something exciting, basket, three-pointer. You kind of get excited. It's hard to stay in your seat, but when it comes to church, it's kind of weird if you act up. But we have something to act up about. Hallelujah. Amen. We have really something to get excited about. Because if you've got Jesus in your heart, you're not going to hell. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about winning. Anybody running the marathon tomorrow? Anybody wish you could? You gonna run the marathon tomorrow? All right. Anybody wish you could run the marathon tomorrow? I don't even wish that. Hallelujah. I never did like running. Even when I could run, I didn't like running. I remember when junior high school, our physical education coach wanted me, because I did the hurdles real good and all that kind of stuff, and he wanted me to go to track. And I said, no, thank you. I don't like to run. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're running for Jesus. Amen? We're doing a marathon for Jesus, for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about, winning in life this morning. Winning in life this morning. Hallelujah. People want to win. And Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 tells us a great, great thing. God's thoughts are so many toward us. It's not evil, but it's good thoughts. Praise the Lord. And this scripture was given to us young in ministry when we were down in Houston at Joel Osteen's dad's church at that time. And he'd brought in, my wife said, 3,000 missionaries paid for from all over the world during that conference, and large conference, big conference. And we have an opportunity to take one of the missionaries back to their hotel where they were staying. And this woman, I don't remember where she was from, but she said, God, give me a word for you. And it's this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil or disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you might be wondering about the end, what's going to happen in the future. But let me tell you, if you're planted, amen, if you have a good foundation and your trust is in Jesus, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm actually wearing a champion's ring this morning. Chip Brim, many of you know him. We're going to have him back one of these days, just schedule conflicts and stuff. We have so many things going on. But he was a winning coach for many, many years before he went into full-time ministry, Billy Brim's son. And he actually, him and Candy are pastoring a church there in Oklahoma today. But one thing that he did, he get these, his ministry is called Champions for Christ. He ministers to young people. Gets them filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you are glad that we have a youth group that loves Jesus? Amen? It's on fire with God. But on this ring, it says this. It's Champions for Christ. That's what the big four means. And strong, mighty warriors prevail. Strong, mighty warriors prevail. Amen? That's why we sing the war song. Glory to God. We prevail. And then on the other side, it says victory in Jesus. That's where our victory, that's where our win is in Jesus today. Glory to God. Nowhere else, nothing else will give us a victory and cause us to win in life but our relationship with Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. But winning involves choices. How many of you know that? You cannot get into any sport, any activity, without practice. Amen? You can't play a musical instrument without practice. It was funny that they used my trombone during the play on Easter. And I, elementary, junior high, high school, in fact, my senior year, I was, all my senior year classes was basically music. Music theory, band, marching band, orchestra, jazz band. I went to school and played my trombone all day. That's rough, isn't it? But I tried blowing it the other day, and I'm really out of practice. I looked like a chipmunk. You build up muscle. And when you're blowing a wind instrument, it's called your armature right here. And if you don't keep practiced, it's like any other muscle in your body. Too many of us have table muscles, right? We exercise that very faithfully. But if you want any muscle to grow, you've got to work on it. You've got to exercise it. And there's too many Christians that just attend church, but they're not exercising who they are in Christ, their rights with Christ, their authority as a believer. Amen? They're talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. Amen? And it makes all the difference in the world. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read this from the Amplified Bible. Amen? And it's a lot, you know, it's about running. Of course, back in the Bible days, running was a big thing. Racing. And it says, you've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, and there'll be a lot of people, if you're interested in the marathon, is going to be running. But there's only one that wins. And Paul says, to run, to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. But you're after one that's gold eternally. See, we have an eternal reward. But as we go for that eternal reward someday, there's blessings that we can enjoy down here on the earth. As we run, there's seasons, and the book of Acts, there's times of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. And we love those seasons of refreshing, and we experience that a lot on Sunday nights. Amen. He goes on to say, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. And I'm saying this to you, you need to have the finish line in view by faith. Amen? You're going to make it one of these days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm giving it everything I've got, Paul said. Everything. No sloppy living for me. And I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of Christians, or they're confessing Christians, that live sloppy. They have a form of godliness. They'll come to church and they'll have that religious thing. They act like a Christian. They put on their Christian clothes for Sunday morning. But during the week, they live as close to the world as they possibly can live. And Paul said, we can't do that. We've got to go through for a prize. We've got to make choices in our life. So I said, Paul said, he can only speak for himself. And this is what he's saying. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. Now he's talking about spiritually. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it and missing out myself. We can tell everybody else, but how about your own spiritual condition today? Think about that. Where are you at with your Christian walk with God? Are you stagnant? Well, I was saved 40 years ago, bless God. Well, yeah, but you need to experience God every day. Amen? The Apostle Paul talked about that. He says to stay in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, they experienced, and we think many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, bless God, I spoke in tongues 20 years ago. Well, how about this morning? It's your prayer language. You're talking directly to God. It's not gibberish. Jude said this, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He build yourself up. There are spiritual exercises like reading the Bible, like worshiping, praying in the Spirit, coming to church, not just when you feel like it. Come on now. As a young man, I was drugged to church. I was on drugs. And woe is me if I decided I didn't want to go. Because my mom had this look. Hallelujah. My dad was a very good spanker. He only had to do it once. The only time I remember, that was in the church bathroom. He didn't ask me if I wanted to get spanked. And if you don't believe in spanking, good luck. I like following the Bible. To beat your child, they shall not die. Pastor Judy, I don't know what this is coming out different. Hallelujah. She showed me something that she saw on Facebook. And I wish she would have took a picture. I would have made a bigger picture and put it in my office. It had a big red, white, and blue paddle. You know, a spanking paddle. And it says, make your kids great again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's enough on that. Praise the Lord. But the basis is our kids are going to see what we see and do, and they're going to do what we do, not what we tell them. Come on now. Praise the Lord. So Paul was saying here that I just don't go around talking religion. I don't go around talking to other people about Jesus without taking care of myself first. It's my witness that's going to change people's life, not what I say. They're not going to listen to what I say. They're going to see what I do. You're going to see those times when, yeah, I go through storms and things. And a scripture over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, it says, "Is everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug a deep and laid the foundation on the rock." Hallelujah. "So when the floods arose and the stream broke against that house, it could not shake because it was well built." Amen. Is your spiritual house well built this morning? The Bible says that the floods, the rains come on everybody. The righteous and the unrighteous. But those who know Christ have built their house upon a firm foundation. So when the enemy comes in, like a flood, God will lift up a standard against him. Because you are built on a foundation. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Ecclesia, and you're part of that church. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah. That means nothing. Well, I don't know. I knew this good Christian man or this good Christian woman, and you know, they just, they're with people of faith. You don't know what they were doing. You don't see their life. See, God knows everything. God sees you at home when we don't see you at home. You can come to church and say, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be up here shouting, dancing louder than everybody else. You're home and live like the devil. Your foundation is shaky because you're not consistent. You're like a yo-yo. You're like a roller coaster up one day. Man, this is different than the first service. Hallelujah. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, I got victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And then tomorrow, oh, woe is me. The devil's beating me up. Well, see, if we build a foundation, and Jesus said there's that other foundation, it's called the sand. And I noticed, I was born, I lived in California, that's where I was raised. And you're on the news when there's a lot of water on the coast that all these million-dollar houses just slide down. Now, what was me? I don't understand why they would build million-dollar homes on the side of the hill where there's not a good foundation. They're crazy. But yet a lot of Christians, they try to live their life and planning for heaven and build a future and raising their kids when their foundation is weak, it's cracked. They're built up on the sand. And Jesus said when the wind blows, when the rain comes, when there's floods, that house is going to wash away. People, I want Living Word to be full of people that have built your foundation on the rock, which is Jesus. Hallelujah. Revelation. Actually, it's the revelation of Jesus. And you just can't, you know, I just come to church and I'll just say this little sinner's prayer. No, that's just the beginning, honey. That's just the beginning. God wants you to be a disciple of Jesus. And the word disciple is taken from discipline. So Paul said there that I'm not going to play around anymore. I'm running to win the prize. Lest when I preach to others, I'll find myself being a castaway. Amen? In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? See, many of us who are Christians, we get carried over on thinking that everything worldly, I can touch it, I can see it, I can feel it, and that's the real, no, that's not the real thing. The real thing is spiritual. And unless you get your spiritual part right, the material things will not come into alignment. Come on now. You get your spirit right. You build up your spirit, man. That's why the Word of God says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, that's materially, and be in health, that's physically, even as your what? Your soul prospers. So God wants you to have soul prosperity, and the only way that's going to happen is neglect not yourselves to assemble together. As Hebrews says, chapter 13, the more so as you see the day approaching, well, I don't need church. I got religion. Yeah, that's about what you got. And when the storm comes, you're going to be wiped out and want somebody to fix it for you. I'll tell you what, I have my fix. How about you? On Jesus Christ, the solid rock I stand. That was a powerful song, a hymn. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All around you is quicksand, man. Quicksand. That's why we are to build ourselves upon a godly foundation. You know, the ungodly, they lie, they cheat, they run over others to get to the top. But God wants to win his way. Amen. How many of you have read the Beatitudes lately? Huh? He said, that don't make sense. No. Why? Because you're laying it up on God. Amen. You're the merciful. You're the meek. Amen. But he says, you'll inherit the kingdom. You'll inherit the kingdom. That's the most important thing. All the other things will come into play. Now, let's read a scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. This is the Passion Translation. Now, this is Peter speaking. He was one of Jesus's, I would say he probably was the number one disciple with James and John and then the other. And Peter denied Christ, we know that. But also Jesus said this to Peter. He said, I'm going to call you rock. You know, Peter's name was Reed, blown in the wind. But Jesus changed his name to Peter, which means little rock. And when you read that passage of scripture, I will build my church upon this rock. He wasn't talking about Peter. See, that's where the Catholics got all mixed up, and they think the Pope is in Peter's place. No, he wasn't talking about Peter. He wasn't talking about Peter being the rock. Peter was a pebble. Let me say that. Peter was a pebble. But Jesus said, the revelation of who I am and who you can be is a rock. Glory to God, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. That is so powerful. Everything that you will ever need for your marriage, everything that you will ever need physically, materially, anything, everything, if you will build your foundation correctly, it's already been deposited by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. In these last days, folks, I was reading about the last great move of God. Maybe I'll talk about that tonight. But we're moving into a time, most of you know, that Iran was lobbing missiles over to Israel last night. And God says, when you hear about rumors of wars and so on and so forth, time is short because everything is escalating over there. And things will be fulfilled in prophecy, prophetically. I'm not here to talk about that this morning, but the end is coming. Amen? We're closer than we've ever been. So we've got to get this right. Amen? And God wants to send a revival upon the earth that will, it'll be every move of God that's ever hit the earth on steroids. Wow. And I've lived through some of them. Charismatic movement, healing, revivals, word of faith. And of course, we go back a little bit earlier, Azusa Street, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you know, there are more Pentecostals on the earth right now than there's ever been. That's meaning baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the ability to operate in the gifts and the supernatural power of God. And that's what we're moving into, folks. You see, in the book of Acts, where stretchers were brought in front of Peter and his shadow passing by, healed the sick. We haven't seen nothing yet. And that's why it's imperative that we understand that God wants to show forth his goodness in this hour. We don't know how to figure that out with our minds. I'm a pastor, but all I know is that we need to get hungry. We need to do our part. How many of you want to see a manifestation of his goodness? Hallelujah. The thing is, he says it's been deposited on the inside of us. His goodness has been deposited on the inside of you. Well, I don't feel very goodness this morning. It's in your spirit. You train your spirit, man, the real you on the inside. See, we live mainly by what we see, what we touch, what we feel, by our five senses, what we see. But that has nothing to do with God, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We train our spirit person on the inside, and we do that through the prayer and the word of God, and our flesh will follow. Some of you are having trouble with your flesh. I can't stop taking this drug. I can't stop this. I can't stop. Yeah, if you will build your foundation. Let me say that. If you'll get your foundation right, all that other stuff will fall off. Amen. It will be a disconnect. I didn't do anything. I just don't desire that anymore. Because I'm in love with Jesus. No, I'm preachy, okay? As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises. How many of you know every promise in the book is mine? Every chapter, every verse, every line is mine. Hallelujah. We sing that as a kid. Every promise. It says that are beyond all price. Hallelujah. So that through the power of these tremendous promises, you and I can experience partnership with that divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So devote yourselves to lavishly supplementing your faith with goodness. Amen. Amen. You might be full of badness, but it's time to get goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. And goodness, add understanding. And understanding, it had self-control. Well, Pastor, I can't stop. Well, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Galatians chapter 5. And a self-control, patient endurance. And to patient endurance, add godliness. Ooh, godliness, God, oh my. Godliness. Don't hang around with the old crowd anymore. Find you a bunch of new people that love Jesus and hang around with them. See, that's the thing in the book of Acts. When they got turned on to Jesus, when they were born again, they went from house to house. They stopped going to the bars. They stopped going to joints. They'd meet on the street corner and have a prayer meeting. Come on. They invite each other for dinner. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, they didn't talk about politics. They talked about Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lifting up Jesus. And the word spread. The Bible said the word multiplied daily. It says, since these virtues are already planted deep, say deep. And you possess them in abundant supply. They will keep you from being inactive and fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. Oh, there's that word but again. Don't laugh. But. How many buts are in the Bible? But if anyone. Now he's talking to the church here. He's just explained all about the exceeding great and precious promises and the virtue and the goodness, all that's been planted on the inside of us. And then he says to add to these things. Don't subtract, but keep adding. Keep building. Keep bodybuilding. Hallelujah. Keep pumping iron, glory to God. Pump the word. But if you lack these things, says you're blind, constantly closing your eyes to the mysteries of our faith. And forgetting. Oh, forgetting. Your innocence. For your past sins have been washed away. Your past sins have been washed away. For this reason, beloved, be eager to confirm, to validate that God has invited you to salvation and claimed you as his own. If you do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, the devil can come. He can huff and he can puff, but he can't blow your house down because your house is built on the rock of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you're living the life. You're walking the walk. You're just not talking the talk, but you're going somewhere. Hallelujah. You are a born again, sanctified child of the King. Hallelujah. The Bible says you are kings and priests unto the Lord our God. You're just nothing, but you're somebody. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. You are what he says you are. You can do what he says you can do. You can be who he says you can be. Stop being a spiritual wimp for Jesus. Be a mighty man and woman of God. Hallelujah. 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 I like what a champion, strong, mighty warriors prevail. And I call you, church, strong and mighty warriors. And folks, you are going to be prevailing. You're not going to compromise. You're not going to be like the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You've been taken out of the domain of Satan, and you've been put in, glory to God, to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. And you're walking in the blessing. You're walking in the overflow. You say, Pastor, you sang that song, but that's not me. Shut up. It is you. It is you. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. Hallelujah. You're walking in the blessings. You're walking in health. There was a quote from a very talented coach. And he said this, basketball coach, a champion needs a motivation above and beyond winning. Let me say that again. A champion needs a motivation above and beyond winning. The Apostle Paul didn't want to win. He wanted to get far above winning. Hallelujah. He wanted to take some winners with him. Come on now. Hallelujah. And that's all of us. We are the church. Hallelujah. We are a church of winners. We are a church of winners. Thank you, Jesus, for that. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and thank God. You've already got the victory. All you've got to do is cooperate and do what he's told you to do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the epistles, glory to God. Even David, he didn't have the New Testament, but he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How do you think he slew Goliath? A lot of the church would be in the camp with the rest of the Israelites. Look at that giant out there. Look at it, it's so bad, it's so evil. Everything is going downhill. But David, full of God. David, a champion. Teenager who had been in fellowship with the Lord. He said, who is that Philistine? Who is that out there that's defying God? Let me at him. Let me at him. It's not time for the church to run and hide. And just sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's time to sing the war song. I plead the blood. Hallelujah. Come on, stand with me today. Praise the Lord. I had a lot more fun preaching this sermon than the first one. Got in my bones. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I'm a champion. I'm a winner. I'm going to obey you totally. Without question. Hallelujah. Thank you that I'm strong in you and the power of your might today. In Jesus' name. I want you to bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you might be one of those who've never accepted Christ, you may have attended church sparingly through your life, certain holidays, but you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You haven't built your house upon the firm foundation of Jesus. And yes, when storms come, and they'll come on both the righteous and the unrighteous, you need to build your house from this moment on, your life, your family, upon the kingdom of God. And you do that by accepting Jesus into your heart and life, making him your Lord and Savior. And people, you can't do it without him. You can't live this life. The world is getting darker and darker. That's why we need Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus right now. And what you need is Jesus in your life. But you know, you say, I know about Jesus. I know he died and he rose from the dead. Most people that know anything about religion have some degree of knowledge of church. They know about Easter. But I'm telling you, you need to know Jesus personally. You accept that Jesus went to the cross and died for you personally, took your place. And then you ask him into your heart and into your life. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. And the Bible says, guaranteed. Everything has a guarantee. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are probably people that have attended churches all their lives and yet have never called upon the name of Jesus. And where their destination is, it's hell. It's without God. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved except the name of Jesus.